Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, my name is Chrissy Champagne, and you are listening to Residue, a true crime podcast dedicated to keeping you paranoid. If you follow me on Instagram at Residue Podcast or Facebook at Residue, a true crime podcast, or TikTok at Residue Podcast, then you rule and you're awesome. Also, you know that I am a little bit afraid of a cruise. I just don't think that we're supposed to be out at sea, and anything can happen. There are so many cases of stuff happening, but this is just one of my little paranoias. You're not gonna catch me out at sea. The case we're going to talk about today scares the hell out of me. This is one of the most horrifying stories that I've ever heard, and this is the case of Amy Lynn Bradley, episode 51. It is March of 1998, and the Bradley family from Richmond, Virginia, has just been awarded a luxury cruise vacation. The patriarch of the family, Ron Bradley, he won this trip from his company. Ron Bradley's employer awarded him 4 tickets on a Rhapsody of the Sea Caribbean cruise. Ron and his wife, Iva, thought that there would be nothing more perfect than taking one last family vacation together with their 2 children, Amy and Brad. Amy and Brad were now older, in their 20s, and they were moving on with their lives. Brad was attending college, and Amy was about to enter her master's program. So the family thought, yes, this will be perfect. Except Amy didn't really feel comfortable going. There was something about being on a cruise out in the ocean that Amy did not find appealing. She had that gut feeling that this wasn't going to be her favorite vacation. But she wanted to spend time with her family. And we've all been there. We've all had that gut feeling about something going wrong, but you feel like, no, I'm being dumb. Let's just go on the cruise and have a great time with my family. It's a free cruise. Amy Lynn Bradley was born on May 12th, 1974. She attended a local college, Longwood University, and she graduated from that college with a degree in physical education. Amy was incredibly athletic. In fact, she earned a scholarship to college through her basketball skills. She was also known for her incredibly strong swimming abilities. In fact, she was the former coach of the swim team. A very highly decorated athlete. At this point in her life, Amy was going back to school for her master's degree, and she had also just adopted a brand new dog. Amy adored her quality family time as well as her new puppy, so she lived closer towards home while she attended college because she wanted to be closer to her family. Now, Amy had her reservations about getting on this cruise, and rightfully so. This cruise took place in 1998, but as of February 22nd, 2024, the statistics say that there are about 200 deaths per year on a cruise ship. The likelihood of experiencing a fatality on a cruise ship is approximately 1 in 6.25 million. Over the years, there have been 623 reported deaths on cruise ships, with 89% of those deaths being the passengers. Researchers reported that the most common causes of death among passengers were people falling overboard or even just falling onto the lower decks. That is about 23%. And then there is also a suicide, murder, and a terror attack. That's about 19%. The next 18% is unspecified natural causes and cardiac incidents. Despite the number, the likelihood of experiencing a fatality on a cruise ship is actually considered very low. The exact number of deaths might be slightly higher because not every cruise ship death is reported. And another very important thing that we need to talk about is human trafficking. Human trafficking at sea is a reality. According to a maritimefairtrade.org article, the marine industry is vast, complex, and it's poorly regulated. So this makes it difficult for law enforcement and other authorities to effectively monitor and enforce anti-trafficking measures. Anyone can be targeted by a trafficker, and many victims are actually cruise passengers that venture off alone in foreign ports. It is now March 21st, 1998, and Ron and his wife, Iva, are going to fly from Virginia to Puerto Rico. This is where they plan on meeting their children, Amy and Brad. Once the whole family meets up, they are going to board the cruise, and this cruise is on its way to Curacao. So the family gets on the cruise, and it is the first night, and it is a night where everyone is getting fancy. Now, this is a luxury cruise. So for the first night, everyone's going to dress tuxedo style, cocktail dress style, and they will all attend this gorgeous, lovely dinner. The family gets dressed to the nines, and Iva, Amy's mother, even said that, "I know that these are my kids, but damn, my kids look good." She said, "When my kids enter a room, they look gorgeous." And they did. Amy looked gorgeous. And the young male crew members on the ship, they took notice of Amy real quick. Amy's mother, Iva, even mentioned that the crew was paying so much attention to Amy that other guests were commenting on it, like kind of making little side jokes like, "Hey, can we get your attention over here too?" And everyone was just having a good laugh about it. Like, Amy's beautiful. Of course everyone's paying attention to her. Her mother actually said, though, it was a little unnerving because the bass player in the band, he was giving Amy the eye the whole night. And it was kind of making her feel a little off. Regardless of how they were feeling in that moment, the family's paying attention. They are aware. They know that their daughter is the center of attention. So they're going to take a few more precautions. At one point, Amy's mother says that a strange thing happened. Now, Amy and Brad are off getting their pictures taken because they had this really cool photographer come up to every table and he would take pictures of you and your family. And then, you know, the spin would be that you'd have to pay for the pictures. You could go look at the pictures on this like kiosk that they had where they uploaded every single person's pictures to this. And then you could go and say, "Oh my God, I need this picture," and pay for it. So Amy and Brad are now doing that, getting their pictures taken, and this crew member just walks up to the table of Amy's dad, Ron, and her mother, Iva, and he's like, "Where's Amy?" And they're a little taken aback because it is not normal for crew members to come up to your table on this cruise. I didn't know that. I haven't been on a cruise, as you know, but apparently crew members aren't supposed to be talking to you. And so that made them feel a little weird because not only is he talking to them, but he's like, "Yo, where's your daughter?" I mean, that's fucked up. So her mom is just like, "I don't know. I think she's with her brother." So the guy said, "Oh no, well, when she comes back, will you let me know? Because me and a couple of the guys that work on this boat, we want to take your daughter out to Carlos and Charlie's." Now, Carlos and Charlie's is a bar off of the boat. So they would have to exit the cruise ship and go to this Carlos and Charlie's bar. And her mother is like, "No, there's no way that's happening." At this point, Amy and Brad come back to the table and the parents relay what just happened with the crew member. Amy's kind of giggling about it. She's like, "Which one was he? Show me." And her mom points at which one he is. And Amy is like, "That guy gives me the creeps. No way." So the parents know that their two young kids are going to now stay up, probably partying a little bit more into the night. And the parents want to go back to the room and go to bed. This is around 11 p.m. So they make Amy promise, "Do not get off this boat. We know you're an adult. You can go have fun. You can go drink and dance all night. But the one thing we ask of you is do not exit this boat. You stay on the cruise ship." She agrees. and the two parents go off to bed. But before Iva and Ron go off to their cabin, one little last thing happens that Iva looks and takes note at. She watches her daughter run back into the crowded Calypso Club, start dancing, and she starts having a good time. She looks up at the stage. She notices that the bass player has now made eye contact with the crew member. The two of them look at Amy, and then they give each other a nod. It is now around 4 a.m., and Brad is going to return to the cabin room. He has left the club, and he's now entering his cabin room to get ready to go to bed. At around 4:15 a.m., Amy now joins everyone inside of the cabin. Amy and Brad kind of hang out on the balcony for a little bit, talking, discussing the night, but then Brad says he wants to go to sleep, so Amy stays on the balcony. It's around 5:15 a.m. when Brad wakes up and he sees Amy still sitting on the deck. At around 5:40 a.m., her father Ron now wakes up and does not see Amy on the deck. He looks at her bed. She is not in her bed. Now everyone is worried. Where is Amy? The ship was not yet moving, so Ron starts running from level to level, running all over the ship, trying to find his daughter because he thinks maybe she went up to the top deck to get some fresh air. Maybe she just went to have a cigarette. After taking a look around the room, they realized that the only thing that Amy must have taken with her when she left the room were just her cigarettes and her lighter. So Ron is just frantically searching. It's around 6 a.m. He's running all over that ship. He searches for about an hour and he cannot find his daughter. So he comes running back into the cabin. He wakes his wife up, and she said that when she was woken up by Ron, he just looked terrified. He said, "I can't find Amy." It is now 7 a.m. Brad wakes up. He wakes up to his frantic parents telling him that Amy is missing. Amy's parents are saying, do not let anyone get off of this boat. And the mom says that they just need to search. This family is in complete and total shock. Their first initial thought was that somebody obviously has her on this ship. And we need to check every single room, every single person. There are over 3,000 people on this ship. We need every single person searched, and we need every single person helping us search. But the captain is like, no, we're not going to do it that way. What we're going to do is we're going to let all of the passengers disembark this ship as scheduled, because that is procedure and we do not stray from procedure, no matter who's missing. Insane. So 3,000 passengers are now able to just walk right off of that vessel. And what's worse, none of those passengers were told that there was a missing person on this ship right now. The captain of the ship assures this family that he and the crew are now going to do an entire search, nooks and crannies, everywhere. We're getting all up in this ship. We are going to find Amy. So brother Brad joins in the search, and he says that as he's looking through the disco area where they were all partying, that he sees the bass player from the house band. Now, this bass player looks at Brad while he's frantically trying to find his sister, and he says to Brad, "I'm sorry that your sister's missing." And Brad is like, "Well, how do you know that my sister's missing? Because there hasn't been an announcement made." So, bass player is still giving everyone the creeps. Hours are going to fly by, and it's at this point that the captain comes back to the family and says, "Amy is not on this ship. We have looked everywhere, high and low. Your daughter is not on the ship." And the family is going to beg the captain to please put her picture out there. And this captain looks straight into Amy's mother's face and he says, "I cannot and will not do that because it will disturb the other guest." And I hate cruise ships. This is another reason. Okay, so now they're telling the family, "She is not on this ship. So you have two choices right now. You can either disembark here in Curacao and go look for your daughter. Maybe she's out there on the land, because we can't find her on this ship. Or you can stay on this cruise and we can finish the cruise. So that family decides that they are going to disembark this ship because fuck you people. And they are going to look for their daughter in Curaçao, call for some help, call the FBI. After the family does get off of the ship, the captain does start circulating a photo of Amy just in case. Now, the family's off the ship and the American embassy is closed. They then get in touch with the FBI, but the FBI is not going to be able to reach them for the next 24 hours. So they stay on the island and they watch the cruise ship just set sail without them. Can you even imagine the fear going through that family? I mean, just think about the fact that they don't know if their daughter is still on that ship. They don't know if their daughter's here in Curaçao. They don't know where she is. And now they have to stay there, watch the ship just sail off. And on the documentary series, Cruise Ship Killers, Amy's mother actually talks about that feeling that happened inside of her body when she had to stand on that dock and watch that ship leave. You could hear music playing. You could hear people laughing. It's like the ship just left and everyone's partying. And now this family is just left in this strange land, not having any idea where to even begin to look for their daughter. By the next day, the Bradley's entire family back in the U.S. is starting to help. Iva's brother actually contacts the captain of the ship and finds out that the search for Amy only included bathrooms, common areas, and lockers. That's it. So the family now knows they need to get back on that boat. Upon the FBI's recommendation, the family finds out that they should fly to St. Thomas and intercept the ship. They are going to find that ship and they're going to demand to be allowed back onto that boat. They're going to get to the boat, confront the captain and the crew with the help of the FBI. And Iva is in mom mode. She is going hard on anybody that works on that boat, on anybody that is on that boat. She is telling the captain, "How dare you fucking lie to us?" At this point, there are going to be two college students that were on board the boat. They're going to approach the Bradleys and tell them that they did see Amy early in the morning get on an elevator with a band member, and they went to the disco. So obviously, the FBI is now going to take the bass player into an interrogation room and just go at him. But they don't get anything. He says he has no knowledge of Amy's disappearance, that he never said that to Brad, that Brad is lying. So now police don't really have anything on the bass player, and they're looking through other things on the ship. So they're looking through all of the photos from that night that were taken. Maybe they can see something in the background. They know that a photographer was hired. Brad and Amy had their photos taken. So they go and search through these pictures, and guess what? There is not one photo of Amy anywhere to be seen. Amy's face has literally been scrubbed from any of these photographs. Completely sketch, right? Well, here's something else that's sketch. The videographer that was hired to take videos of the night on the ship, he was an outside hire. He had nothing to do with this crew. So he goes back to all of his footage because he's hearing all these stories now about how a girl was missing, and he swears he has video of that girl. So he's in his room, his cabin, he's going through all of his footage, and he finds actual footage of Amy dancing with the bass player. This is real footage that you can see on the documentary Cruise Ship Killers. So he goes to the captain and he's like, "Hey, look, I found this footage. It's your bass player dancing with her in the disco like the two college students said." So he hands over the tapes, and a couple minutes later, he has a knock on his door and he is told that he must hand over all of his master tapes to the captain right now. And he says, "No, thank God." That videographer gave these tapes to the captain the same day that the family and the FBI are searching for this girl, and the captain did not turn those tapes over to the FBI. This video, and also video of Amy alone in an elevator, are going to remain under wraps for years. The Bradleys only find out about this footage years later when the brother of the videographer is going to contact the family and let them know the situation and ask them if they'd ever seen the footage. At this point, it is March 26th, 1998, and the FBI is about to bring the bass player back in. And this time, the bass player is going to take a lie detector test, and he passes. The Bradleys are now going to return to Virginia and immediately launch their own 24/7 nonstop investigation to find their daughter. This family is going to go through so many ups and downs in this missing persons case. Later that summer in 1998, Brad and his father, Ron, are now going to return to Curaçao to do their own search for Amy. While there, they do run into a cab driver that says Amy approached his cab on the morning she went missing and she asked to use his phone. This cab driver says that this woman had vibrant green eyes. And that clue about Amy is what made Ron and Brad believe that this guy was telling the truth, because Amy had gorgeous green eyes that you could not miss. You could not mistake her for anyone else. This cab driver gives the two a couple of areas to go look. Now he says, I'm going to give you three areas where you should go look for Amy, but you do not speak or talk to anyone in those areas. It's a very dangerous place to be, but I know that she has to be in one of those three areas. While Brad and his father are driving the streets, he says that he swears he heard a voice yelling for him. He says he heard Amy's voice yelling from a car that passed by them. So they catch up to this car. They're hot on the heels of this car and they get to it, and it's not Amy. Another year is going to go by and there are still no new leads. Until one day, a Canadian businessman named David Carmichael, he calls and gives the Bradleys some news. So David Carmichael went on a diving trip with a friend of his. That was around August of 1998, the same year that Amy went missing. Now he's in Curaçao. He's with a friend. They're on the beach. David Carmichael says that he sees three people walking up towards them. He sees two men and one woman. He says that he notices the woman because she's kind of coming at him pretty hot. Like, she's getting real close to him and she gets right into his face. And it gave him a strange feeling, almost like this woman was asking for help. As she got close to David, the two men grab her and they start walking away with her. But as she's walking away, she keeps looking back at David. Now, David's not taking his eyes off of this young woman because he can tell that something feels off. At this point, David doesn't know of any missing woman named Amy Lynn Bradley, so he doesn't know what to be looking for, but he did know that something felt off to him. He says that it seemed as though she was almost trying to communicate with him by showing him her tattoos. So this lady is being led off by these men, but she's flashing her tattoos to him. It wasn't until David returned to Canada that he starts seeing photos of the missing girl named Amy Lynn Bradley. That is when he is like, oh my God, that is the girl that I saw. And he calls the Bradleys. He also flies to Richmond, Virginia to talk to the family. David Carmichael was saying that he was trying to reach the FBI, but he couldn't. And so he wanted to talk to the family. And it is at this point that the Bradleys are now just convinced that Amy was kidnapped. The Bradleys are going to get a call from a private investigator named Frank Jones. Frank Jones was a former U.S. military special ops, and he was convinced that Amy was sold into sex slavery. He said that this happens a lot from cruise ships and resorts, and that the sex trafficking rings are run by the cartels, and this is a very dangerous business. He is ex-military. He knows how to get in there, get Amy, and bring her home. But first, he's going to need $25,000. I mean, this guy seems like a hero to the Bradleys. Comes in, saves the day. This family is desperate, so they're going to now ask friends and family to help them raise $25,000. And they do. And it's at this point that they hand the money over to Frank Jones, and he leaves for Curaçao. Now, it is going to take a little bit of time, a couple weeks, until Frank Jones calls the family and gives them any updates on what's going on in Curacao, what's going on with the search for Amy. He sends the family some photographs. He says that he has found Amy. He knows where she is. Here are some photos of her. Now, these photos are only the back of a woman sitting on the beach. But on her right ankle, she has the same tattoo that Amy has. And the Bradleys full on believe this is their daughter. This is when Frank Jones tells them, I know where she's staying. Now, I'm going to need $100,000 because this is a very dangerous area. I'm messing with the cartel. If you guys can get me $100,000, I promise I'm getting Amy home. The Bradleys don't have $100,000, but Ron's ex-employee, the one that gifted him the four tickets for the cruise, he's going to now front the Bradleys $100,000 of his own money. He says that he will give them the money, but what he's going to do is hire his own private investigator. And this guy's name is going to be Tim Buchholz. So Ron's former employer hires Tim Buchholz to go down to Curacao and check on Frank Jones. They give Frank Jones the $100,000 and they are told to wait in Miami per Jones' instructions. Now, this devastated family is waiting in Miami to hear that this guy Frank Jones is getting on a plane. He's going to be in Miami soon with their daughter. But instead, they get a phone call from Tim Buchholz. And Tim tells the family that Frank Jones is a liar. He's a con artist. Tim Buchholz, now doing his own investigation on PI Frank Jones, finds out that not only was Frank lying to the family, but he was using their money to have an extended vacation in Curacao. He also hired two models to pose for those photos of Amy, and he also had a tattoo stenciled onto one of the models to trick the parents into believing this was their daughter. 2 years are going to go by. It is now 2002, and the FBI calls the family saying that Amy was spotted in Curacao. This was in 1999. An anonymous naval officer met a woman in a brothel. He said that he was at a table and a girl approached him, and she said, "My name is Amy Bradley, and I need help." And this gentleman in a brothel says to her, "Well, why don't you just go outside and get help then?" And Amy says to him, "I cannot leave. I am not allowed to leave this brothel. Can you please help me? I am missing. You can get a hold of my family." And this guy didn't know what to do because he is a naval officer. He's going to get in a lot of trouble if they know he's at a brothel. So he says that he was just basically like, "No, leave me alone. Have a good night." And Amy went on her way. So he didn't report this because he thought he would be getting in trouble. And he waited until he was able to tell the FBI that this had happened to him. But he waited until 2002, and this happened in 1999. So the FBI does go back and return to the scene of this brothel, and the brothel has been burned to the ground. 3 years later, in 2005, two more pieces of evidence are going to come to light. Now, the Bradleys are going to receive an anonymous email. This email has a link to a website that is advertising escorts. This porn site is operating out of the Caribbean. And on this site, there is a woman named Jazz. She is featured. So the FBI takes this picture of Jazz and they compare it to a picture of Amy. This FBI agent says that he would bet his career on the fact that this is, in fact, Amy. And you have to see this picture. It does look a lot like Amy. The hairstyle's different. She's a little bit older, obviously, but this looks just like Amy to me. Another clue. While on vacation in Barbados, an American woman claims to see Amy in a bathroom. She says that she was in this bathroom in a restaurant and she could hear someone in the stall next to her. She said that she heard the door fling open and she could hear two men yelling. She says she lifted her feet up so no one else would know she's in there. She heard one of the men say, "Don't do anything. We are right outside and you better be there tonight and not mess anything up." At this point, the men leave. She says that she saw a woman come out of the stall, very scared, very tormented, and she was leaning over the sink, upset and crying. This woman came out of the stall. She asked the girl what her name was, and she said, "Are you okay?" This woman is so frightened that she leaves the bathroom to go find her husband or go find security guards. She says as she looks back, she sees that Amy leaves the bathroom and the two men follow her. This anonymous woman was so scared and so worried that she immediately calls the authorities, and she ends up sitting down with a sketch artist and she composes a picture of the girl that she saw and the men that were with her. Now, when I tell you that this sketch looks exactly like Jazz from the anonymous email that the Bradleys got. It has been over 2 decades, and there have never been any new leads in this case. To this day, nobody knows what happened to Amy Lynn Bradley the night of March 21st, 1998. Since 1998, Amy's family has been working nonstop to find her. Her mother says, "We get up in the morning and we say, maybe today. And then we go to bed at night and we say, maybe tomorrow." Amy's mother, Iva Bradley, wants to give everyone a warning. She says, "You must remember, a few miles out from the dock and you are now in international waters, and it is lawless and you have no rights." Thank you so much for joining me on this week's episode of Residue. I appreciate you all so much. Residue is hosted, created, written, researched, and edited by Chrissy Champagne. That's me. If you enjoyed this episode of Residue, it would be super cool if you could share with all of your friends and family. Leaving a 5-star review would also help the show out, and it would help other people find Residue. You rule, and until next time, stay safe and stay paranoid.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.